The Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the second day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the United States may soon ink a Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement, and ADM's bid to purchase Australia's GrainCorp elevator and export system has been blocked. Dave Dickey, your director of agricultural programming, will be along with the news for the afternoon. And then as we close out our program, we'll take up the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago for this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby December soft red winter wheat at $6.49¾, 5¼ cents lower for the day. July at $6.63½ for the harvest month, down 7¼. And the hard red July at $6.97¾, finished 2¾ lower. December corn, $4.16½, up a penny and a quarter. The March at $4.24½, unchanged. May corn, $4.33, up a quarter, and July at $4.30, unchanged. December futures of next year, $4.54¼, unchanged for the new crop harvest month in the corn pit, and the March contract of next year at $4.65¼, unchanged as well. And that would be the 2015 corn. Soybeans January contract, $13.21¼, down 15¼. The March at $13.06, 11¾ lower. And May beans at $12.87½, down 10¼. July futures $12.78¾, 9¼ cents lower for the day. November beans $11.50 for the new crop, up 3 cents in January 2015 at $11.54¾, 3¼ higher. December bean meal at $447, down 99.60, and December bean oil at $40.34. That finished 12 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the December contract at $133.25, 22½ cents lower. February up 2½ at $134.27½. January feeders at $165.35, down 12½ cents, and the March futures unchanged at $165.67½ for the feeder cattle. December lean hogs at $86.25, up 35 cents, in the hog futures for the February's at $90.45, down 12½ cents per 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading January at $93.96 a barrel, up $1.24. Arbob gasoline at $2.68¼, 2¼ cents higher. And ethanol futures at $2.20, 15 cents higher for the day. Natural gas is trading in the January at $3.98¼, up 3 cents for the afternoon. And diesel fuel is 2¼ cents higher at $3.05¾. Gold futures trading at $1,222.30 an ounce, down $28.20, and the U.S. dollar at 80.91. That's up 0.23 for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the day tells us that we will see cloudy skies this evening with a 41 degree low on a south-southeast wind at 8 miles an hour. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a high of 58 degrees. South winds at 9 to 16. This is in the Urbana-Champaign area. And then tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy and 47. Southeast winds at 10 to 13. And Wednesday evening, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy. That'll be on Wednesday during the day, that is, with a high of 57 degrees, and Wednesday evening mostly cloudy and a low of 30. Thursday, a 30% chance of snow after the noon hour, mostly cloudy, the high of 34 degrees, a chance of snow on Thursday evening as well, cloudy and 21. And by the time we get to Friday, cloudy skies and 25 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 13. Saturday, mostly sunny and 22. Saturday night, mostly clear and 12. And Sunday, partly sunny skies and a high near 26 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check on this Monday afternoon on the commodity futures markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It looks like it was a quiet day today, and of course, I spent the day at home on Friday taking the Thanksgiving holiday. Why don't you recap both of them for me, please?
Well, Friday was somewhat encouraging going home due to the fact that export sales were fairly strong, quite a bit of export interest, and especially on the bean side of the equation, and ideas that there are some corn export business to be had yet, and came in here Sunday evening, and of course beans kind of the leader again, and as we moved through the night hours into our day trade here in the U.S., trade got a little bit more aggressive on quite a bit of news being floated around. The big news is rumors China rejected another two cargoes of corn due to unapproved GMO variety. Amazing. When corn stocks were real tight, that news was unheard of. Now, all of a sudden, we're starting to hear this news, maybe as much as five cargoes. Also, too, ideas that maybe Asia may wash out a couple cargoes of beans purchased for January shipment, or could be, in jeopardy, too. So Asian news was kind of disturbing. A lot of the concern, too, in Asia is that there was talk that they could do away with their minimum price to producers, guarantee them a price floor. They could switch that to maybe a subsidy program. But the word came out more of a more stricter enforcement of that. The government's a little worried that when you guarantee $10.20 for corn and world corn values are sharply below that, you can import corn and have it used to flip into the reserve program and all of a sudden you get 10-20 for it, and they didn't want to see abuse of that. So word of that, coupled with what was previously said there, just kind of put the brakes on ideas that maybe this demand could slow down, particularly in corn when we're looking at over doubling our exports, and a good chunk of that, almost 20%, that's going to China. So, a little bit of concern that we can slow things down here for a while. Beans reached some technical upside price objectives and generated some profit taking, and wheat saw some earlier strength due to the cold forecast, but in all, the defensive mode kind of set in as we went through midday there, Todd.
Yeah, I make note that on the charts, the December, July, and December, new crop December corn all posted hook reversal ups, but January and July beans posted outside down, so kind of that's a new and interesting twist, I guess, with the corn looking more positive and the beans less so.
Corn's been in a downtrend clear back and since July there. We had a couple of times here we were able to squeak higher for a week or two. The corn front-end corn market here in the D's made a new low by about 0.75 cents, was able to close higher, so we got that hook reversal going, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you look at the momentum indicators, we got bullish trend divergences kicking in through here, which warrants that maybe this corn market's a little oversold and due for some strength. And on the flip side, though, the beans have been strong up here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, made new highs, and closed below the previous day's low, so we've got an outside down reversal in the beans, and the momentum indicators are the upper side of the equation. So I think we saw some unwinding the spread, selling the beans and buying back the short corn positions there to finish the day with beans quite a bit lower and corn steady higher.
Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the bottom in the corn market coming, relatively speaking, and then at least if not a bottom, near-term bottom, that is, a little blip to the upside that may come before the end of the year. Is this what you hope is the start of that? And if so, what's the upside objective, and should producers be prepared to make sales?
Well, that's the thing. We're in the hope stage right now.
Yeah, I know.
My fear is we're going to go in the fear stage right after the first of the year. So.
Yeah.
But now we've been waiting for some type of low here and some recovery. I mean, basis is firm, but that's due to lower prices and producers hanging on here. But right now we're kind of in a position where, a 15 to 20 cent rally it would be more than welcome, and that type of move a producer needs to probably get on it. There's going to be a lot of cash grain for sale after the first year. That's going to keep a lid on things. It's going to take some adverse weather in the summer hemisphere to get the market a little bit more bullish. My main concern that first year is more consumer confidence, investor confidence. We saw a lot more traffic over Black Friday, over the weekend here, but overall general sales were down almost 3%. So a lot of people's out looking, but the confidence is not there to spend the money. So our fear is that realization that these higher health care premiums are going to kick in after the first year is going to be reality. And what's going on in Washington, I think the public's a little uneasy with that. Gold was down over 30 bucks today. The Dow's kind of hanging in there, just down 30. But I think as we move down the road, the investor confidence and the consumer confidence is going to weigh on all sectors.
Well, I'm wondering, and usually we say buy the rumor and sell the fact, I think that's right. But in this case, is it potentially a sell the rumor and buy the fact on what might be happening with, and I just don't know, with the healthcare system and whether it will actually kick in and in a way that is purposeful or not. I just frankly have no idea and wonder what you're thinking it might mean in January and February and March.
Well, who knows what can happen. I guess we'll see which way the leadership goes. But
gotcha.
When you visit with the average person, they're just coming out of a state of denial that their health premium is going to go up. The only way you're going to save money is if you get that subsidies or some tax credit. And, it's just going to go up. And I think that when people start spending an extra $2,000, $3,000 a year on health insurance coverage and have less benefits, for say, as money-wise, it's just really going to be hampering that extra disposable income that middle class used to have, if this goes through.
Right. Let's take a look at what's been happening with the livestock. Anything there and the way of advice for producers looking for input needs?
Well, as we move lower in here, it's going to create opportunity to pick up some extra revenue from cheaper inputs on the grain side. Guys have been kind of going hand to mouth in here with this downtrend. Meal's been a little bit of a challenge, but the corn value's been going down. Overall prices in general stayed firm. Looking at the cold storage report and so forth, we've had higher pork prices, but we've seen good movement. And hog's been flatlined. Judging Black Friday restaurant volume, it looked like we moved quite a bit of restaurant material here over the weekend. We look for Christmas ham demand to kick in through here. So we look for the livestock sector to stay firm as we go into year-end, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, and he will be back for our Commodity Week program when we record it this Friday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel, of course, with Bates Commodities, where he serves as their senior grains analyst.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, the winter meeting season is upon us, and if you have not yet signed up for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, Those are the Farm Doc meetings scheduled for across the state beginning December the 16th. The Ag Economist and I will be on the road. You can do that today. Visit our website at willag.org. You'll find links in the schedule section, or just go to farmdoc.illinois.edu. The Illinois Farm Economic Summit's the week of December 16th. I promise you, this is the best half day you will have with the Ag Economist from the U of I. Be sure to make your reservation today. Those close on the 16th, or rather the 9th of December. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, U.S. Vice President Joe Biden and U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman have scheduled meetings in Japan this week, where both say that negotiations on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement will be high on the agenda. Froman is meeting today with senior Japanese officials to discuss the TPP negotiations and other regional and multilateral issues before traveling to Vietnam and Malaysia prior to attending the annual World Trade Organization Ministerial Conference that begins tomorrow in Indonesia. U.S. officials have said that conclusion of bilateral U.S.-Japan trade negotiations should coincide with conclusion of the broader TPP talks. Australia has blocked a $2.7 billion takeover bid by U.S. agribusiness giant Archer Daniels Midland Company for local grain handler GrainCorp Limited, based on national interest grounds. GrainCorp shares slumped as much as 25% in Sydney after intense lobbying by farmers and some conservative politicians helped derail the deal, which would have left 60% of wheat shipments from Australia controlled by three companies, and it would have also put almost all of the country's eastern grain export infrastructure under foreign ownership. The ADM GrainCorp deal is only the third takeover to be rejected by Australia in little more than a decade. ADM officials say they are now considering, instead of takeover, an enlarged stake in Australia's GrainCorp Limited. Victoria Podesta, chief communications officer for ADM, says that ADM will look at increasing its stake, though it had no definitive thoughts on it yet. ADM's proposed takeover of GrainCorp would have given it control of over 85% of bulk grain exports in eastern Australia. ADM will not appeal the GrainCorp ruling. The International Grains Council has revised its forecast for global wheat output for the 2013-14 crop year, predicting it to reach 698 million metric tons, and global corn production to reach a record 950 million tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There, over on the right-hand side of the page, you'll find our calendar of events, including the Ag Masters program, which is happening today and tomorrow here at the I Hotel in Urbana-Champaign. And then December 10th and 11th, we'll kick off our winter meeting season with the Will Ag Marketing Panels. Farm Credit Services Building will host the first one in Mount Vernon on the evening of the 10th. We'll be in Sikeston, Missouri with University of Missouri Extension on the 11th. You can find all the details and ways to register for those programs and so much more in the schedule that's on our page at willag.org. Now up next, Rod Bain from USDA has this historical perspective of the crop insurance program.
Just how far has the federal crop insurance program come since the modern version of this program was introduced back in 1981? Someone who knows is former USDA chief economist Keith Collins, who now advises the National Crop Insurance Service.
1981, we're about 50 million acres enrolled in crop insurance. Fast forward to today, 2013, 295 million acres. It's extraordinary.
because if one compares the 295 million acres to the total number of acres planted in 2013, that means almost 90% of planted acres are covered by some form of crop insurance. And Collins says this growth has been the result of several factors.
Crop insurance has gotten better. It offers more and more products. It offers it at an affordable price, thanks to government support to help farmers buy crop insurance. And at the same time, because of budget difficulties, Congress has made the traditional price and income support programs smaller for farmers, so they don't compete with crop insurance like they used to.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, on this Monday afternoon, let's check the cash grain market for the day. On the phone line with us is Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd. Mm,
Thanksgiving is over. The holiday is done. Either that or it's just beginning, one of the two. and maybe you can tell me how traffic has been there at the elevator.
Very slow today. We bought a few beans last week on the rally, but today with beans down and corn touching recent contract lows, very light farmer selling today.
Your expectations through the end of the year?
I think farmers are starting to lower their expectations. You know, we had talk about when's corn going to get back to $5. Well, I think they kind of realize now we're not going to get back to $5 anytime soon. So, you know, now it's just a question of whether we can get a little bit of a rally. I think farmers probably would like to sell something between now and the first of the year to get some money for bills. So now the question is, do we get a little bit of a rally, you know, emphasis on little, between now and the end of the year?
Is that 15 cents to 4.30 or
that's
4.50?
It. Oh, yeah. And like I say, a month ago, I would, you know, 15 cents, I think they would have turned up their noses at that. And now I think 15, 20 cents sounds a little bit more realistic.
And how's your basis holding in the process against this marketplace?
Well, basis levels basically are coming up to the January prices, you know, taking most of the carry out of the market between now and January. And, of course, it's December now, so that January is only a month away. But the fall bid has really improved a lot. You know, for example, here in Champaign, we're 11 under the March, and that's for Nove, Dece, Jan, you know, basically as far out as you want to go, where there's just very little carry in the corn market. Once you get into the spring, there's 3-4 cents a month, but for the next 3 or 4 months, very little carry in both corn and soybeans.
Yeah, so really the best you're thinking that you can hope for is December corn at 4.30, and you're going to be able to sell it as a cash for delivery at 4.30 then, under the spot, under the spot too?
And hope that you had 185 to 200 bushel corn.
Yeah, well, that might not be too much in the way of hope. It was a pretty good crop year in our area. I would think there would be a lot of people that would be in that range, so that's not so bad. How about for soybeans?
Soybeans, these are really good prices. We get up to that 13.20, 13.30 level on the board, and then we seem to back off. And once again today, we got up to we got as high as 13.46 today, and then we back off and finish at 13.21. So, you know, 20 cents off the high, 25 cents off the high, but still 13.20 is a good price, especially with the kind of yields we had. And, you know, I'm just afraid that at some point in time, China is going to start switching some of their purchases from U.S. origin, you know, cancel those and replace them with South American. Now, you know, that may not happen right away. You know, it may go up a little bit more in the short run, but I think the bigger picture is lower prices over time.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 4.13 for Dece or Jan. New crop corn, 4.29. The beans are 13.21 for Dece or Jan. New crop beans are 11.25. And new crop wheat is 638.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Fritters Day. Thousands of years ago, the Romans and Greeks made fritters, deep-frying flour mixed with milk, eggs, spices, and honey. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, George Richard Monat was born. an American physician. He was one of the developers of a raw liver diet used to treat anemia. In 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency began operations. William Ruckelhaus was the first director. President Richard Nixon charged the then 38-year-old Ruckelhaus to treat air pollution, water pollution, and solid wastes as different forms of a single problem. Ruckelhaus exceeded expectations, earning the nickname among lawmakers as Mr. Clean. And in 1995, Maria Telkis died, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-heated seawater distillation system and a solar-powered stove. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Earlier today, Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated left us an update of the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet.
A strong temperature contrast is expected to occur across the Midwest as we go through the middle to latter part of this week as an Arctic air mass drops into the northern plains and the northwestern portions of the U.S. Corn Belt. That cold air mass is not going to be allowed to drop too far to the southeast, but there will be a region of conflicting air mass temperatures that will set the stage for repetitive precipitation events. That region is going to include parts of the Delta, the lower Ohio River Basin, and parts of the southeastern and middle Atlantic states. In this corridor, there will likely be frequent occurrences of precipitation, a lot of it which will occur as rain, but just to the north of the primary precipitation region, there will be a wintry mix of precipitation types and some significant snow and ice possible. We'll watch that closely. This will occur as we get into the latter part of this week. Until we get to that point in time, it should be relatively tranquil across the majority of the Midwest, with not much in the way of significant precipitation, except in the northwestern portions of the region. Our first wave of winter precipitation is already getting underway across the region from the Dakotas into Minnesota and Wisconsin today, and we'll likely see the precipitation in those areas continuing as we go through the next 2 days. In fact, northern Minnesota may be one area that is targeted for some of the greatest snowfall, which could end up 10 to 20 inches in some locations by the time we get to the end of this week. The storm system will be focused on the Dakotas, though, and portions of Montana today and southern portions of Canada's prairies. We'll likely see the storm becoming more intense in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt as we get into the day Tuesday and Wednesday. The storm system is going to generate a considerable amount of wind as well as the snow, which is likely to fall. And most of the adverse conditions will be focused on the Dakotas, Minnesota, and parts of Manitoba and Ontario. But there will be a secondary low pressure center that will form to the southwest of this. That storm system is expected to develop on Wednesday night and into Thursday. It may be a weaker event, but it will still produce snow and freezing rain from portions of the central plains into a part of the lower Midwest, and will likely see snow and ice accumulations occurring from Kansas into parts of Indiana and Ohio, while some rain occurs further to the south. Temperatures across the Midwest are certainly going to contrast quite a bit here for the second half of this week. At that time, we'll see high temperatures limited to the positive and negative single digits in the Minnesota and the Dakotas, while it'll still be in the 50s across the southeastern corner of the Midwest. A little later in the week and into the weekend, we'll likely see the eastern portion of the Midwest cool down, with highs only in the upper 20s and 30s across the region, but it'll still be bitter cold in the northwest, where readings will be running mostly in the positive and negative single-digit readings. Our low temperatures at night across the Midwest should be mostly below zero in Minnesota, Wisconsin, parts of Iowa, Nebraska, and the Dakotas. But in the southeastern half to two-thirds of the Midwest, our temperatures will rarely get colder than the teens and 20s.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. That wraps it up. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
I'm Marco.